You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. You remember early last week, you and I had a conversation where we looked at some numbers, and they tell me, at least the smart folks that, you know, the focus group types, they tell me that spouting off numbers here on a talk show, that's not great radio, but we did it anyway. And what we did was we looked at 2016 polling numbers, compared them to today's polling numbers. Specifically, we looked at where Hillary Clinton stood in 2016 in the various battleground states, compared her position to today's position held by, at least according to the polls, by Joe Biden. And then we thought, all right, how much can we trust today's polls? Because what we discovered was Hillary Clinton, in many battleground states, was enjoying a wide lead. All of those states, Donald Trump ended up winning. Joe Biden, in this go-around, is not performing even as well as Hillary Clinton appeared to have been performing in those polls of 4 years ago. So what does that mean? And you know, you might feel the temptation to apply logic to this scenario. But I think if pollsters have taught me anything, is that this is not a game of logic and it's luck, and everyone is just kind of rolling dice, throwing darts at a board. Or if you are into like the zoo social media, every zoo around the country has like a panda bear that picks between two bowls of food. One of them is Trump, one of them is Biden. I'm not sure yet what Hochul has announced as the winner of this presidential contest, but polling. Polling. I obsess over it because, you know, it gives me something to do. But in the back of my mind, I always know this could be far, far off. Boyd Matheson joins me now. Boyd joins me now, host of Inside Sources, also opinion editor of the Deseret News. And you're like a super, like, well-connected guy. You know some of these pollsters. I didn't even know they were humans until recently.
They are real humans, yeah.
You had a conversation with Scott Rasmussen just this morning about polling. What did you learn during that conversation?
Yeah, you know, Scott has such an interesting angle on all of it. He's an independent pollster now, and as he's looking at across the board, things have been pretty steady. The one thing about all of his polling nationally and in local races is that it's just very, very consistent. There's kind of that steady drumbeat. And he really got to the point where he's saying, hey, look, we may actually know some things on election night.
Come on.
A lot of people are saying, no, it's going to take forever. But sort of the canary in the coal mine is going to be Florida, I think, because Florida's actually already started counting their ballots. So they're a little different rules from a lot of other places,
right,
that can collect the ballots, count how many there are, but then they can't open them and get processing until day of. Florida actually has been counting already. So I think the president cannot win re-election without Florida. And so I think that will be a very early indicator in terms of how that night's going to roll out tomorrow.
There, if you, like me, are a nerd and do follow these numbers, even with my misgivings, if you follow these numbers, you will have seen over the past number of weeks and months even that Joe Biden has, you know, enjoyed some leads that were even well outside the margin of error in not just nationwide polling, which I'd caution you against, you know, putting too much stock in that, but in the battleground states across this country, we were seeing Joe Biden with a real advantage. Somehow over the past like 3 or 4 days, that has narrowed. And there is on 24-hour cable news networks and newspapers and, in fact, in talk radio programs like my own, added attention being paid to the polls. Is this some kind of game the pollsters are playing on us, or is there some kind of fundamental shift in the attitude of America's voting
public?
Yeah,
you know, things do always tend to tighten towards the end, although I do think we should make a pitch for tomorrow that we should have a donut contest that would actually be the most scientific poll we could take. We even have offers of cream puffs, I think, from the other side of the glass.
I'm in.
I think that could do it. But there is a natural tendency to tighten. And the reason for the tightening is not that the race is changing, but the partisans are just locking in.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, those who were Biden people all along are just locked in and say, okay, I've cast my vote, or I'm in there. Same thing on the Republican side. And so the tightening is more about the partisan, hard Democrats, hard Republicans, than it is whether the race is really having a lot of movement.
Oh, interesting. Well, fascinating. So we'll see. And again, you know, on the eve of Election Day, I'm just filling time by talking about polls. Tomorrow and in the pursuing weeks, we're going to have actual results. So that'll be fun to follow.
Results are a good thing.
And much more consequential than polls. You caught my ear this morning as I was listening to your radio program. You offered a monologue in as you wrapped up the program, and it talked about this principle of praying for the pilot. What were you talking about?
Yeah, it was a fascinating thing. A niece of mine had found it. It was in the Davenport, Iowa.
Don't tell me. I know Davenport.
You know Davenport,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
It's all we read it regularly.
Oh yeah,
and it was
Quad City Times.
It was just a regular old letter to the editor, but it was really good. This guy had got on a plane and saw the pilot go in, lock the door, you know, get in there, and then he started wondering about the pilot. You know, is he a good pilot? Is he a bad pilot? Did he drop out of pilot school? Was he the number one rated pilot? Was he the worst pilot? But then he started thinking, I guess it doesn't really matter because I'm on the plane with the pilot. And so I better hope for the best and pray for the best for the pilot. And because when a plane crashes, there are no winners
right,
at all. And so then he likened that to where we are as a country. And he even talked about, again, this guy writing to the Iowa paper there, that, hey, as a nation, you know, whether you wanted Barack Obama or not, whether you wanted Hillary Clinton, whether you wanted Donald Trump, whether you want Joe Biden, in the end, whoever is chosen as the pilot, even if it's – and especially if it's not the pilot you would have chosen – you still got to hope for the best because you want that pilot to succeed. And I think the same applies whether you're talking about the pilot of the country as the president, whether it's the pilot of a state as a governor, whether it's a member of Congress, a local mayor or county council person. We all should pray for the pilot and hope for the best because we're all on this plane together. And the division doesn't help us if the plane's going down.
Yeah. I observed in the early days and months and even first couple years of the Trump administration, that attitude was pervasive. You would see a lot, even from Speaker Pelosi and others, talking about the office of the presidency and how we all ought to be rooting and pulling for the office of president. We agree or disagree, have voted for or have voted against. You know, just as you put it, we got to be pulling for the skipper of the ship or the pilot of the airplane.
Yeah.
You said something a moment ago. It doesn't matter if it was the top of the class or the least performing. Reminds me of a joke. What do you call Boyd? What do you call the person who finishes last in medical school?
Probably rich.
You call them doctor.
Oh, doctor.
As they drive away in their Jaguar.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Boyd Matheson with Inside Sources, also opinion editor of the Deseret News. You are participating in our super heavy hitting coverage of election night tomorrow, kicking off at 5 p.m. here on KSL News Radio. Very much looking forward to that. Boyd, thank you for your time today. Best of luck to you over the next 24 hours.
We'll take it.
Or number of weeks, however things shake out.
It'll be good. And the thing we have to remember, Wednesday morning will come. Tuesday's really important, but it's the first Wednesday of November that actually drives the country.
That's the way. Boyd Matheson, thanks again for your time. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we return, I want to have a look at some third-party candidates. Now, every 4 years, this conversation comes up. What will be the impact of the third-party candidates? Well, there are some arguments to be made this year that the impact will be felt heavier than ever before. We'll find out how true that is next on Live Mike.